Hi guys, welcome back to the Find Your Feet podcast, a weekly podcast show that is here to help you find your feet in life, live your best life, learn about self-love, wellness, positivity, and becoming the best version of you.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. Today, we're actually going to do an episode on healing journeys, and it's going to be dedicated towards those people that may be feeling a little bit lost or overwhelmed with their healing journey, because they can be a mad old time, they can be a lonely time, and there can be a time where you just really require extra support and you have to be extra gentle with yourself. And I think any advice or any topics that you hear people speaking about and you realize like how normal it is to feel like that on your healing journey can also be really healing in itself.
But first off, we wanted to start by talking about the recent moon eclipse. It was
a total lunar eclipse, full moon, beaver moon in Taurus.
Oh my God.
It was a mouthful, that's what it was.
Yeah, but like that was on Monday. No, Tuesday.
Yeah, Tuesday.
Yeah, so like this is coming out the following week. So last Tuesday the 2 weeks before that, there was another moon that opened the portal.
Yeah.
The portal of this eclipse.
Two eclipses, yeah. Really close together.
Yeah. Which means, because we're moon experts now, aren't we? Yeah. Which, basically, what I was getting from it was that we went into this two-week portal that was, like, a powerful transformation portal that was all about change and letting go. And, like, this eclipse was, like, basically going to realign you. If you're on the wrong path, it was going to push you off it, going to show you what you need to let go of. It's very powerful for releasing. Like, moon, is it full moons when you release stuff? Yeah. I guess you can do any moon. It doesn't really matter. Yeah. But just cycling with the moon of when, like, of as a time to reflect really on like what you let go is really powerful. But I feel like this eclipse moon was crazy. Like, I feel like it was really mega.
Yeah, I feel like I really felt it building up like the few nights even towards it, like the moon shining in my window like so bright, and I could feel the energy was so strong, and I just had the craziest dreams, like leading up, the most vivid dreams.
Yeah, I've had weird dreams even after the eclipse as well. Very weird dreams. But I thought that the moon was very powerful. I enjoyed it.
Me too. I feel like more connected than ever now. And I think it is due to us as well, like just learning more recently. You know about like crystals and
and the moon.
The moon. Like now some of our clients are into that kind of work as well. So like my like schedule goes with the moon. So I look at the moon, I'm like, oh my God, it's nearly full moon, so I need to do that and that. And I was like, I never thought that in my life I would look out my window, look at the moon, and then it would remind me of something I need to do on my to-do list.
Yeah, so I went to my first ever sister circle on the moon. I flew up there.
No. God, take me next time.
No, like I've done like those kind of like new moon gatherings and stuff on Zoom and things, which are nice, but never actually done one in person. It was so nice, and you just went and like spoke about what you wanted to release, and then like wrote on paper, journaled, burnt it, and did like meditation stuff, and it was just like really powerful. I feel like I really harnessed this moon, you know. I really took it by the balls, and I was like, let's go, let's release some massive shit.
Massive shit.
You know, like, let's drop a bomb, let's offload what does not serve us anymore, let's burn it in the fire. That's what I did.
I love that. Did you feel like, you know, like when you go to a women's circle, you know, you have like that really ancient feeling of like coming home, you know, because like women for centuries, like our ancestors did that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it felt really like normal. It didn't feel like weird or anything. It was really nice, and you sat there and like obviously in a room of people you've never met before, and you're like all like saying out loud like vulnerable things about yourself, but didn't feel strange at all. It was really nice. If anyone's never done anything like that before but fancies it, I recommend it. It was lovely.
Yeah, because I've never done that like on a full moon, like a sister circle kind of vibe. But obviously I have done like things where you get together, and I think there's something so healing in just speaking things out, isn't there?
Yeah.
And like taking the weight off things. Like so often, especially with healing journeys, we can work through things even like in our minds, but that's what it is. It's in our minds. Like it stays in our minds. Unless you actually speak out to people, then the weight of it can sometimes even get so much. Even if you are moving forward with it, it can still get so much. I think even just speaking things out and just being like, this is where I'm at, or this is what I want to release, is so brave, because a lot of people don't even like allow themselves to be that vulnerable and be like, actually, no, this is where I'm at.
Yeah.
And it's messy, and I don't even know what the next step is, but right now in this full moon, I want to let go of this.
Yeah, exactly.
Shit, as you said.
Yeah, big shit. Get rid of it. Yeah.
Big shit. Because I thought it was going to say big shift, and it just said it ended at shit.
Well, yeah, big shift too. Well, yeah, no, when I was like voicing out there, like what I wanted to let go of, like my voice was like breaking when I was saying it, because I was like, really wanted to just, I was like, fuck it, like, why, if you're going to go to something like that, like, why not just go and show up and, like, just actually say what you think, like, actually say what you want to let go of, like, who gives a shit? And obviously, circles like that are actually really safe spaces, like, that's what they're for, like, you're not meant to discuss what anybody said afterwards or anything like that, which obviously I'm not going to do, I'm just talking about the experience of it right now. But it was really powerful, like, to just go there and just be like, yep, this is what I want to let go of. Like, and I feel like on a healing journey, you have to do that as well. And it was that sort of like moment of where you're like, why judge yourself for what it is that you want to let go of? Because usually like whatever we're healing or whatever things we know we want to stop doing or release, you know, we usually hold shame around it. It doesn't matter what it is, like, where even if it's like something that happened to you in your childhood that wasn't actually your fault, someone did something to you, you can feel shame around that. You can feel shame around the fact that you have an addiction to something. Like, you can feel shame around anything. It's incredibly vulnerable to be vulnerable like that. Do you know what I mean? It's vulnerable to be vulnerable. But like, it's so, I think that's one of the really key things on a healing journey, is to let go of that self-judgment for where you're at and what you are healing. I think that's one of the big first steps of like acceptance of, okay, this happened to me, or I've done this, or this is where I'm at, and let's like sit with it and why, and just taking that self-judgment off, because that makes the whole process even harder, and actually going to a circle like that or something and voicing it out. And even if you don't feel brave enough or ready to necessarily do that, you start off doing it in your journal, you start getting it out of your head basically and onto something. Even if like you speak it out loud while you're driving or something like that, like just get it out of you. I think that's one of like the first steps to start to drop that judgment for what you want to heal, because I'm 26 now, that was the first time in my life that I've been happy to go somewhere like that and be like, room full of people that I don't know, let's go baby, like I'm just gonna voice it out because I'm doing this for me, for me, because I want to acknowledge it and like get it out, and I don't, I'm not judging myself for whatever it is. Whereas before, I don't know, I feel like, but there's so much judgment and shame in healing anyway, actually, when you think about it, like when people are like, oh, I'm going to go get a therapist. Some people, if they don't kind of have that open mindset about it, they'll be like, what? Why? Are you okay? Yeah. Oh my God. It's like, what the hell? So I think therapy is the most casual thing ever. Like, it's not casual. It's a big deal. Like, you're doing some like amazing work, but like, I really don't think it's a big deal whatsoever. If someone tells me they've had therapy or they're in it, I'm like, fucking cool, mate. Like, go for it. Love that shit. But, you know, a lot of the world isn't open and accepting like that. So...
obviously, a huge part of a healing journey is something me and Grace speak about in this episode and in a lot of other episodes, is getting support from a qualified therapist. And that is why we are very happily sponsored by an amazing company called BetterHelp. We actually had an incredible review the other day as well from one of our listeners who said their life has changed recently because they've been listening to the episode, but then also paired it with therapy, which I just think is the absolute perfect combination, because so many things can come up for you when you're on your self-development journey that you may feel like you need extra support for. So if you are looking for a therapist, BetterHelp is an online therapy company and they can set you up with your own therapist in just 2 days. There are thousands of licensed therapists all over the world who specialize in different things. So you basically go online and tell them what you feel like you need support for, and they will match you with the perfect therapist. BetterHelp is all done online. You don't even need a laptop if you don't have one. You can choose from text messages, voice calls, or video calls, which all take place inside the app. BetterHelp is also much more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and they are also offering 10% discount off your first month of therapy for all of our Finding Your Feet listeners. So if you do want to access that discount and get the support that you need, you can head to betterhelp.com/findingyourfeet. That is betterhelp.com/findingyourfeet. Yeah, I think it's like the way we're wired and we're like taught that therapy is if there's something wrong with you.
Yes.
But I literally think everyone should
It's beneficial to everyone, yeah.
Yeah, like everyone, if you've lived and breathed on this earth, then like, not if you've lived and breathed, you need your therapy, not at all, but like, you kind of like deserve to be able to work through things, because like, it's really hard to navigate things in your own mind. And when you're just speaking there about the judgment and the shame that like you can put yourself in healing journeys, I feel like, I don't know if you've experienced this, but I feel like a big one is that some people feel like the thing that they're healing is like not big enough, or yes, like it's not like valid to be like in the space. Like, you can compare yourself to other people, like, oh, they've been through this. I'm like, oh my God, the pain, it feels enormous. And then you might compare it to your own, and you're like, oh my God, is my trauma even worthy of like being spoken out? Is this even worthy of healing? But one thing that really helped me with that is like understanding that trauma, even to begin with, is not what happened, it's how we interpret it. Yes. So like, it doesn't matter what has happened to you, whether it's big, small, you can't be like, oh, that's not a trauma, like that's not traumatic. It's literally just how your brain has interpreted it. And if it's interpreted it with a trauma response, then it's going to be stored in your body as trauma. And that doesn't make anyone better or worse, weaker or stronger for like what's giving you trauma. Do you know what I mean? Like, you literally can't control it. Your body is just trying to protect you, and you're just having a reaction to something outside of you. And I think as well, looking at like big T trauma and little T trauma, is that like interpersonal therapy or something? There's like a word for it.
Oh, really? I don't know. I know that Karina talked to us about it when she came on.
Yeah, I think that...
What do you mean, internal family systems? Is that what you're talking about?
Well, no. Yeah, I'm thinking of Gabby, because she speaks about it quite a lot.
I don't think it's like necessarily related to...
Yeah, there's just like... There's a thing that it comes from, but it's like big T trauma and little T trauma. And it's like... The big T trauma is like something people usually would think of, oh my God, like a car crash or something really traumatic. And then you've got your little T trauma, but like it's... They're both the same. Like, just because you got big T trauma and little T trauma, it doesn't mean that one's worse or one's better. And I think that is a huge part of it. If people are thinking, am I even worthy of going to therapy? Because like, this feels silly. Like, why have I even got trauma over this? But again, yeah, that is just the shame. So I think being able to meet yourself where you're at, like you said, and just understanding that the more you have deep compassion for yourself and the more you meet yourself where you're at, the more accepting you are of where other people are.
Yeah.
Because if you literally can't be like intimate with yourself and meet yourself where you're at in your pain and be like, okay, cool, this is where I'm at on my healing journey, and what can I do the next day to get move me further? If you can't meet yourself there and you're going to keep skipping past all the pieces because it's too uncomfortable, then when you're in that intimate situation where your friend or your family member is in pain and they're somewhere, you're not going to be able to meet them because you can't even meet that in yourself. Mm. Like, you're skipping past it yourself, so you're not going to be able to meet them.
Yeah.
And not that it's about just that, but it really improves every area of your life when you're way more compassionate with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, as I said, release the shame on whatever it is you're healing.
Yeah. I went on like a healing journey last year. Yeah. 2020. Yeah. Started like last year after the summertime. And a huge thing for me at the start of it was just coming to accept the fact that what had gone on, like the thing that triggered this healing journey that had to go on, this event deeply triggered me, but maybe it wouldn't deeply trigger someone else, but it's okay that it deeply triggered me, and that's fine. And that's valid because for months I've spent ages saying, oh, I know, because I talk about my friends, obviously, because that's a huge part of it. Like, if you've got obviously supportive friendships, like, and you're lucky to have that and blessed to have that, then they can be a really big part of your healing. Like, it doesn't just happen with a therapist, like having good people around you that let you talk and just listen and support you. I would always catch myself saying, now I know I keep going on about this, I know it's not like probably a big deal to somebody else, and someone else probably wouldn't have even got this much in a tiz out about it, and I have, and I'm just gaslighting myself straight off. And I had to actually, the initial part of my healing journey, just come around to the fact of acceptance that it happened, and I responded in a trauma response. It caused trauma for me, and like, that's okay, you know, because everybody is so different. The reason why you get triggered by something as well is so complex. Like, there's so many reasons why. What happened in your childhood? What is your soul like? Who are you as a person? Like, everyone's so different, and you can't judge yourself for what that is. But I think that big T little T trauma thing is like a massive thing, like, for people, because there's so many people that will just stuff away their emotions, stuff away their pain, because they're like, oh, well, I've seen this person on the news has terminal cancer, and I'm just like, in pain because my boyfriend dumped me. Mm. I need to get over myself, or I'm just in pain because they just invalidate whatever it is that had gone on. But that pain will be there anyway. It will just be there waiting for you to validate it eventually one day. But I think that's like a huge first step when you're, is to just be like, you know, I am feeling how I am and that's fine.
Yeah.
And that's okay. Like, and if other people respond differently, like, that doesn't matter. It doesn't take away how horrible and awful you feel.
Yeah.
If someone else wouldn't, like, doesn't think, minimize it, whatever. Like, you have to just, you really have to validate yourself and, like, just be, you know.
Yeah. I think that's probably, like, the actual key to actually your healing journey.
It's huge.
It's, like, showing up for yourself regardless of what it is, like, really showing up for yourself and validating your own emotions, for sure. I feel like it's so easy to, like, just invalidate yourself.
Oh, yeah.
And then skip past with. I even see, like, a thing on, I think it's on Instagram, but it's so true how people can actually really commonly, like, I know the word gaslight gets thrown around a lot, but, you know, like, you can, like, gaslight yourself by saying, like, oh, well, at least I don't feel as bad as I did then, or stuff like that. And, like, but, oh, I don't deserve therapy because I've actually, I felt much sadder this time, like, 5 years ago. And it's like, no, you're completely, like, just taking away the fact that your emotions are weighing you down, and, like, it's painful. Like, if you don't allow yourself to say this is painful, then no one's going to say that for you, and it's going to be stuck inside of you. Like, you have to call it out. Like, if you're in pain, you're in pain, and, like, meet yourself there. Don't skip past it and think, oh, well, 10 years ago I had a worse time, or like you said, that person in a, oh, I don't know, war country is having because they are in the physical world, they are having a worse time, but as well through that you are completely invalidating your own emotions.
I think, like, the healing journey, it's like a process of it, and I feel like I think we go through healing journeys all the time. I think you do it, like, on different levels all the time throughout your life, depending on, like, what happens to you, and also how much, like, personal development you've done, because there'll be different layers to how you can handle things. But I feel like went through one last year, and it was very different to one I've done before, because I was older and knew other things and was wiser. But it was interesting to watch it, because I kind of saw, okay, this is what a healing journey is at the start, and this is what it is when you're coming to the end, and like the difference. So I just wanted to, like, explain what the difference is, because anybody listening, they might be at the start or they might be at the end, and it might actually just put into words, like, what the fuck has been going on, because I think sometimes you don't even know that you're in it, especially if you don't maybe have friends that you talk to about things like this. It entirely depends, well, like, around who you have around you, like, how open they are about these things. Because if you have maybe friendships that are really closed off from talking about your emotions or anything like that, like, they're not going to be able to maybe help you identify that, like, you need to go on a healing journey, or you are on one, or you're at a rock bottom because you're going to build up or something like that. But I feel like the initial process of healing, when you're like, okay, you get, like, slammed into a healing journey by, like, the universe. I feel like it starts off with feelings of, like, grief, heartbreak. Like, I really found a loss of confidence and a loss of trust in the world, like a loss of trust in reality, my sense of reality, my sort of, like, because you kind of, depending on what it is, like, you can, because say maybe you get cheated on, you know, there's the people always say, like, infidelity is a thief of reality or something. Because say you're in a relationship with someone and they cheat on you and you have no idea, and then you find out, you say they've been having an affair for 6 months and you had no clue, and then you find out, then you're questioning your sense of judgment for the last 6 months and before that. How did I not know? How did I not see the signs? How did I not realize this person was capable of doing that or was doing it? All these things, you lose this sense of trust in yourself, which is what confidence is. It's self-trust. So I feel like, I don't know what you, if you have any kind of thoughts about what you have experienced or found was a common, like, feelings at the start of a healing journey. When you, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, just even on that, I feel like more people in the world need to know about that, that loss of reality thing. Because I actually remember you saying that to me ages ago, and I was like, oh my God, that makes so much sense. And I was actually listening to a podcast the other day on the Skinny Confidential. I don't know if you listened to it. I can't remember her name.
I've listened to all of their episodes recently, so I will.
Oh, okay. The one that was on about divorce and her husband, like, cheated on her. sense.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Shut the Kale up.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was a powerful episode. She was being so vulnerable and open.
Yeah, so good. Yeah, yeah, so vulnerable and open. And but yeah, she was literally saying about that, how she was like, I can't believe I didn't see it coming and all this. And literally straight away what came to me is that, like, so many people don't realise this when they go through something like that, like cheating. It's like how much it completely distorts your reality and how much it throws you off. Because I've heard so many people in the past say they're like, oh, this person cheated on me. And they're like, God, it really, like, it wiped me out. Like, I wasn't myself for a year, da-da. And, like, they don't realise that they've had that thing where, like, the whole trust is just gone.
Yeah, there's so much that breaks down. Like, how you view the world, your sense of how well you can judge the world and what's going on, your sense of, like, trust within yourself, like, all these things just won't break down, literally like that. And you... And I think we live in our minds. We build constructs in our minds that make us feel safe and happy. I literally build constructs in my mind about my future and where I'm going that make me feel a sense of comfort that actually could never fucking happen. Like I that's why I do like vision boards, but I know that I do that. Like, as in, I do tend to make them happen, but especially like with career stuff, I won't panic because I'll be like, no, because I know what's in the future. I know what's coming. Like, and obviously it's nice. It's kind of like a really deep sense of trust that you do end up manifesting. But like, we live. I'm aware that I create little constructs in my minds of how my world is, and that makes me feel comfortable. And everybody does that. Like, we all do it in some way. It's not like a. It's like a normal thing our brains do. So you live in that day to day, and that makes you feel soothed and safe. And then all of a sudden, it's gone. You're so raw. You're like a open wound, like, and you're so vulnerable in that moment, and it's so hard to like come back round and rebuild your new reality back up. But you do. That's what happens. Is you do, because that's what happens at the end of the healing journey. Is you become so much stronger because you've had to heal from this thing. You've had to rebuild that construct back up in your mind to a new elevated version that's stronger. Because say, like, as well, your identity, like, let's just say cheating for an example, you could be someone who thinks that you would never get cheated on. Maybe you have like some pre-existing ideas about cheating that it means you've done something to cause it, or you've got a bad relationship if that happens, and you actually wound up a lot of your identity and ego in the fact that you have a great relationship and that they would never cheat on you. You're not, you're more worthy than that cheating equals worthlessness. And then you do get cheated on, and it triggers all those things, you know. You lose your sense of identity as well. Like, there's so many things. But what happens at the end of a healing journey? That's when you kind of know you're coming out of it. Is when you find this strength to rebuild that construct that you live in your mind, with acceptance of what's happened, acceptance of where you are, and strength to rebuild something better than what you did imagine before, and live in this sort of new you and new life. Because it might mean that either you have to change as a person, or people in your life have to change, or you have to leave somewhere and you have to go somewhere else. Like, there's so many things that cause you to go on a healing journey, and so many things that can trigger that. Like, you know, like, you might have to move out of where you live, say it is with a partner and it's been cheating, you live together. Like, there's so many ways your life can just be pulled apart. But I think once you get into the end is when you have that confidence to envision a new future, that optimism comes back.
Yeah,
I think you kind of go into like a mode of like, oh, I don't say pessimism, but you do lose that spark for.
Yeah, well, let me wait. I still want to answer your question.
What was my question?
How do you feel at the start?
Yeah, go for it.
I feel like at the start, again, what you said, I agree with, and it's, I think when you're at the start of the journey, I just feel like incredibly lonely.
Oh yes. Like, oh my god. Yeah, yeah, I forgot,
like,
about that.
Yeah, yeah, like so lonely, like as if, but it is like an illusion. Not that I'm saying like you are not lonely. Like, yes,
gaslighting.
You do not feel lonely. No, not that. But in the sense of like, say for example, if I'm just using like my healing journey, like I felt so lonely at the start, but like in reality I did have a lot of support. Like I have you, I have friends that I would know would literally be there honestly like 24 hours a day. Like I know that, but that doesn't take away like the like complete emptiness you feel, and the feeling that like no one gets it, no one understands how I feel. Because if you're in the midst of healing something, then that means that you haven't figured it out. You don't really know what's going on. You're healing yourself. So if you can't quite figure out what's going on, it's really hard to relate to people. It's hard, like, to think, oh no, other people have been through this, like let me listen to them. You just feel completely alone in it because you're in the midst of it. It's just began and you're like, okay, how the hell do I heal this? How do I move forward? How do I get rid of this pain? And it just feels like, God, has anybody in the world felt like this? Like, does anybody know how I'm feeling right now? But then again, I think that can come with like some shame of like, oh, well, like that doesn't really matter. Let's just, well, I'm just talking about my own experience, but let's just like heal. Like, does it matter that I don't really feel like anybody else has felt like this? And I don't know who to listen to, do you know what I mean? So then that like just breeds more like loneliness and like this feeling of just like complete loss, especially like you said, especially if you went through cheating, breakup, stuff like that, because you have physically lost something.
And
then also you've got like this huge like ball.
It's like
sadness.
A hole.
Yeah.
It's like a hole in your heart that gets formed. That's why you have to heal it.
Yeah.
And it does make you feel really alone. I definitely, that's what I've completely forgot to even mention that one, but I felt and have felt so much loneliness at the start of a healing journey before. And I think as well what it is, not just what you were saying, like that you feel like no one else feels what you're feeling and can understand or has been through it. I think it's also that you're now being faced with emotions you've never experienced before. And there's something in that, not even just thinking, does anybody else know what this is? Can they relate? It's not just that. I think it's this weird, it feels like loneliness, but because it is, but it's like this just horrible, hollow, like raw feeling in you, because you're like, you're just like, it's like things have been stripped away, joy, happiness, comfort, peace. And all that's there in that moment is pain, sadness, shock, grief. Like, they're really hard emotions to deal with. And you're just, you can't run from them. You can try, but you'll make shit worse. You can temporarily numb and run, but it will not go away. And it's like, I think, I don't know what it is. Like, I don't even know if I'm explaining it properly, but like that feeling in itself causes loneliness, I think. Like just being alone with those emotions that you are really strong, that are very hard to hold, that you maybe you haven't ever held before, or you have, but either way it's difficult. But a therapist actually told me something about loneliness that changed my life and changed the game for me. And that was, I said to, because when you were saying when you felt that you had people all around you and support, I was the exact same. And I said to her, I felt deep loneliness before, but I lived alone. I lived in a city where I didn't know anyone yet, and I had hardly any friends. So I understood why I felt like that. Like, I didn't have a community around me at that point. I hadn't built it up yet. And I said, but now I'm around so much my family. I'm back where I grew up in home comforts. Like, I've got loads of friends around me. Like, I've way more of a stable community around me than I ever have. Why am I feeling like this? It doesn't make sense. And she just said, don't run from those feelings, like sit with them. That loneliness feeling, it's like pulling you to sit with whatever else is there. It's trying to teach you something. And when she said that, I was like, God, okay. So I just went home, like from then, if it would come around to maybe like at the weekend, because it's easier to distract yourself in the week from maybe pain you're feeling, because you can be at work and be around people. And like, but then at the weekend comes, say you had a bit of time to yourself, there's nothing to distract yourself with or whatever, there's nothing to do other than be with those feelings. Like, it's very hard to run from them. And I just thought, in those moments where I felt like running, I just thought, no, don't, because she said there's something to learn, so just don't. And then when I did that, that actually the loneliness feeling minimized as well, because it was kind of like I just paid attention to those feelings and those emotions, and like that in itself soothes them and takes them down a level, is that level of, is just acknowledging them. So maybe somebody listening to this now is really struggling with that horrible loneliness feeling. It literally feels like that, doesn't it? Like,
yeah. And like, what can help? I suppose, like, even to help the listeners, like, what do we even mean? Like, when you say then, like, not to run from them and just be with them, like, probably it looks different for both of us. Like, what does that... So say Grace is... I don't know why I just said Grace. Say you are, like, Saturday night, say you go back to that time and you felt loneliness. For someone listening, like, what does it even look like to not run?
Yeah.
What would you do?
Sit. Literally sit. Like, be in my room, sit in my bed, on my bed, maybe journal about it. And just probably scroll on Instagram, try and ignore it, but not ignore it. And just be like, okay, like it's here.
Yeah.
And try and not panic about the fact that it's here and just be like, okay, it's here. It's just kind of like consciously just kind of acknowledge what's going on, but rather than try and fix it, just observe it. Like, just be like, okay, it's here. I feel like absolutely shy. I feel like this feeling is not going to go away. It's making me feel panicked because I don't want to feel like this.
Yeah.
But I'm just going to try and surrender into it a bit more and just see. And I would just be in my room. I'd maybe read a spiritual book or a self-help book. Mm. At that time, I was always going to Return to Love by Marianne Williamson, because that's a very beautiful book. So I would probably find peace in trying to learn something about it, whether that's from a book or a podcast, some kind of... I always default a bit to spirituality in those moments a little bit. Or just trying to connect to some... I think we've always got like that... like we're not alone. Like my beliefs is about the universe, like the universe has your back and things happen for you, not to you, things like that. But that's quite a hard thing to think about when you... I don't know, let's say you've just been cheated on by someone you had no idea was going on. But you can never see the kind of the light that comes out of that situation until after it's done anyway. But I usually like try and like drop into that kind of energy as well.
Yeah.
To like just kind of be open to like a sign or a message. So maybe I'll something weird, I'll look, be like, right, where have I opened the page of this book? That's a sign. You know, I'll just try and notice little like synchronicities or things like that.
Yeah.
To find a bit of comfort in it. And just trying to sit with it like that.
No, I think that's such good advice. That's basically what I would do as well. Like, just being with it. Like, I was just reflecting on my own there. And, like, because I feel like lately I've been doing that thing where you get frustrated, like, thinking, oh, God, like, what part of this healing journey am I at? But, like, say on my full moon the other night, I did a meditation. And it was only the start of the meditation, actually. We'd only been doing it for, like, a few minutes. And then I can't remember, Estelle asked like one question and it just completely broke me. Like I literally just like broke down and started crying for like 10 minutes, like a full on, probably like the most full on crying I've actually done for a long time.
Oh, you love a cry as well now.
So I know. But I think there's such a difference in like, there's so many different types of crying, but like in crying and being like, and then like actually full on crying. Yeah. And I was like full on crying, like I was really releasing something.
Yeah.
But yeah, like in that moment, instead of like, batting it away, because it's so easy to like distract yourself and just think, oh, I'm just gonna but then I think as well, like coming home to yourself, and well, we speak quite a bit about that divine homesickness, and I think you can feel that a lot in your healing journey, where like you feel really lonely. And like one thing that's really helped me is my connection to God. No, I mean my connection to like, I mean you can call it God, you can call it whatever you want, but like my connection to the universe, like that makes me feel more whole. It makes me feel more safe. So like in those times where you've got this kind of idea that, oh my God, I'm alone, nobody understands how I feel. Like you said, reading spiritual books or something like that, or doing a meditation and just like comforting yourself. Like there's so many different things you can actually do, like even like self-soothing. Like there's so many things you can do in that moment. But I was actually just leading on as well. So like, I mean, there I feel like we've been speaking kind of about healing, like maybe like one particular thing, like a big event or something that happens in your life. But as well with healing journeys, is like I sometimes look at them as like a broad spectrum. Like I think some people choose, and I don't mean this in like an ego way, like some people choose to heal in life and some people don't, and that's fine, you know, like kind of like healing patterns, behaviors.
Not everybody's in a lifetime ready to do that.
No, definitely not. But some people, and I feel like most people listening to this podcast have probably chosen that.
You wouldn't
be
attracted to this show if you weren't.
No, yeah, you've chosen to heal, like heal parts of yourself. And that could be, it could literally be anything. It could just be like one behavior that you got passed down from your family, or it could be like an entire family system that like you feel like you've been chosen to heal, and you're like, why the frick do I feel like I need to do this? And I think sometimes it can get really messy and really overwhelming. And sometimes you're like you just not even up for it. You're like, I feel sometimes like a lot, like I'm like, sometimes this would be so much easier to just not do it. But your soul still chose to do it. And I believe that you can really, because I've seen this in so many of my friends, and I've definitely done it myself. You can, and it totally depends where you are in your healing journey. Maybe you've literally just begun and you might be thinking, God, this sounds all a bit overwhelming, what you're talking about. But it's a real thing, and like, you may hit it, you may not. But like, you can get to this point sometimes where you're like, what am I doing this for? Like, literally, what is the point in this? Like, why am I spending so much time healing myself, working through my patterns, trying to like show up for my family in a different way, trying to show it to my friends? Like, this is so much harder than just ignoring it. Like, this is not like the easy route. Like, numbing yourself out and just forgetting about it and stuffing stuff down and having loads of like coping mechanisms is like, can be far easier. But I just want to say to those people as well, because I hit this wall like not even that long ago, where I was like, what the fuck is the point in this? Like, as I was saying then, that idea of loneliness, like, you go through these healing phases and you feel that absolute loneliness, and you feel like you can feel quite a lot like you've isolated yourself. Like, that's how I feel sometimes when I'm on my own healing journey, and I'm like, what the fuck is the point in this? But I just believe that if you've been called to a healing journey and you're letting yourself break wide open and you're being vulnerable and you're opening up your heart, then that is where you let the light in, and that's where you let the love in. Like, if you feel like you've been called to heal but you don't want to do it, and you feel like you're just stuffing everything down, then like, you're just so full of things you do not need. Like, you're being called to this for a reason. You're being called to release and heal for a reason. And I think if that's in your heart, you almost have to like honor yourself to do that.
Yeah.
And like, I just always remind myself that on the other side, there's so much love. Like, there's so much love that will fill you up when there's so much love that will fill you up when you actually release what is not yours. Mm. When you release the pain that you've been holding on for years and years, you allow more love in. Because I literally just imagine it as like a big like balloon, and it's full of all your life and all your memories, and that's like your body, and it's like your soul. And like, you can fill yourself up with so much pain, you can hold on to it for years and years, and then you can even have shame for holding on to it all for years. But if you actually just allow yourself to heal, and if you just step in and just get over that loneliness and get over the pain and get over the fear and just allow yourself to let it go, I imagine like the water coming out of this balloon, and then that's where you let the light in you, and that's where you let more love in. Like, it's always worth it, and there's always a point. But just remember that it's not like weird or normal, or you've not gone crazy because you're like, what the fuck is the point in this? Like, this is weird, I don't want to do it, and it's wasting my time. Like, it's so normal to feel like that, but it's so worth it once you're over the other side.
No, 100%. You made me think then about Gabby Bernstein always says it, but I think it's actually a Rumi quote, not hers, but I'm not sure. But she always says, an egg that's cracked from the outside is broken, but an egg that cracks from the inside out is reborn. And that's what healing is, and deciding to heal. So even like, if, let's use the cheating example again, like, you feel like actually you've been cracked from the outside and you feel broken, but then that deciding to heal is cracking it more from the inside out. But even just deciding to think, I've become aware of this pattern that I've picked up from, let's say, childhood, it's an ancestral pattern or whatever, and I don't want to carry this forward into my life anymore, and I want to heal this, that is that being reborn. Then that's how the light comes in. And it's so true. It is like, so it's always worth doing it. It's like, you get drawn to do it, you kind of can't not, even when you get those moments where you're like, fuck this shit, like, why am I doing this, fuck this, man, I'm going to go back to being like, where I didn't even know any of this, how can I unread some of this stuff? You know what I mean? And then you just like, yeah, but it's, you can't not, like, you just get pulled onto it. And it's always, you get pulled onto it as well, because like, you need to become that healed version of you, because there's something like, you need to show up in your life in that way. To maybe that's like, because it's part of your path to do something with your work, or like, to actually, you're asking, like, I always think about like this, you're asking the universe for this amazing relationship, this amazing love, the love of your life, your soulmate, all these things that we say, why is it not here? Where is it? Blah, blah, blah. And you get frustrated. Well, maybe you're being pulled on your healing journey first because of that. Not saying we have to be healed to be loved, because, you know, we've like had Kagi come on here and say that, like, she doesn't agree with that. And like, I totally understand that, because I think sometimes you can use it as a way to just avoid relationships and intimacy. But you never realize that actually that person that you're asking for, or that just whatever it is, that experience of life that you're asking for and you're saying you want in your future, and the universe is listening to you say that, you might have to up level first to meet that vibration. And maybe that means you have to heal. So I just think that's why it's important to do it as well, because it can kind of unlock the gifts of your future too, which are important for you to get.
When you're saying that, even on like the most basic level, you know, when people are like, you can ask, like, you can say, oh, I want to be the strong, powerful person, but like the only way you're ever going to get strong is through adversity. So it's like, you've got to have this shit thrown at you. Literally, you've got to go through it. And you've got to go through the really tough times where you can't be asked, because that is going to make you into the person you are asking to be, the person you're literally manifesting. Like, you never grow when you're really comfortable and fine.
No, exactly. It's always through the difficult points. But so I think, like, to kind of label what things you might experience or feel when you're coming out of the healing journey, you're out on the other side. Because sometimes, like for me, when I started to recognize that I was coming out of it, I would notice really small things, like I was singing again. I was just laughing more. And the singing one is...
I've noticed that as well.
Yeah. The singing one was a main thing for me, because you're not conscious that you're not singing anymore. But then I think I just caught myself at the sink washing a dish and I was singing. And I was like, whoa. Because you start singing so unconsciously. You start fucking singing the latest viral song on TikTok. Yeah. Like, without even consciously choosing, hello, okay, brain, it's time to sing. What should we sing? Let's sing this song. And then you start doing it. Like, you just start humming stuff. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's very unconscious. You just start to do it. But you do it when you're like, your vibration's higher. Like, you do it when you feel better. Like, so I feel like it's like it's an expression of joy. But when you're at the start of a healing journey, you feel like that joy's gone. But I feel like a nice sign to see that you're coming out the other side is very small things, like catching yourself singing in the shower, things like that. Like, that was for me. I was like, whoa. Or like dancing again. I don't really dance that much, but like, you know, you just dance around your house a little bit, you know, like just they're expressions of joy, basically. And you just catch yourself in the moment. You're like, shit, I haven't done this in ages. And you didn't even realize you were choosing not to do it. It just naturally wasn't happening because you didn't have a lot of joy to express. And that's how you can suddenly see, oh, I think I'm coming back.
That's really beautiful. I've never even thought of it like that, but that is so true. It's like those things that you don't notice. I definitely did that as well with myself, where I was like, oh my God, like, you just feel like, in terms of like the singing and dancing, like, you feel like something's like dropped off you.
Yeah.
As in, like, I noticed that in myself, where I was like, oh my God, like, I've just sang and then I didn't even think about it. And it's like, I haven't actually felt like that in a long time. I haven't let my shoulders drop and just be in flow.
Yeah.
Like that in a while.
Yeah.
What other changes?
Well, I think laughing as well is one.
Yeah.
Obviously, like, being able to like crack a joke or whatever. Like I laugh quite a lot because I say a lot of weird things on purpose to make people laugh, and also to make myself laugh, because then I'll see them and be like, you're a fucking weirdo, and then that will make me laugh. So like, laughing for me was like a big thing, because if I noticed that silliness, the messing about and like playfulness starts to disappear, then I know that shit's not good.
Yeah, no.
So for me, it was things like that, but also like, peace of mind, obviously, but like, in terms of, because I will, I've said this before, I'll default to anxiety during difficult periods of my life. Like, that will rise up inside me. Some people might have depression rise up. Some people might have OCD, intrusive thoughts, all these different kind of things. I've, not to speak into existence, but like, I think I'm predisposed to anxiety in a way. It's always been the thing that I would struggle with if I was to go through a hard period. So for me, I would get my peace back, get that peace of mind. I'd just stop feeling anxiety in my body, or stop feeling like I need to rely so hard on a meditation to make me calm through the day, things like that. But also, like, a big one for me was confidence and just knowing myself. It was that self-trust, and which is what confidence comes from. It's self-trust. Like, Ed Milet is the guy who says that thing that we all always hear, like, confidence is just keeping promises to yourself. Like, that's how you build it. Like, I'm going to go to the gym at 6 o'clock tomorrow morning, and then you do it, and then you feel confident because you kept your word to yourself. And I think that when you go, like, say infidelity robs reality, or whatever it is that's gone on for you. Even like, but just generally, healing in general requires you to strip back a part of you and let it go. Love it and let it go. Mm. Like, you know, have you ever seen on TikTok where people, it's a really emotional little trend that people are doing, where it's this song and it's like, ha, we made it.
Yeah.
And then the person turns around and they're like, this makes me want to cry. Like, they turn around and they're like, but I can't come with you anymore.
Mm, yeah, it's really emotional.
Oh, see, isn't it? Yeah. And then they're like, the sound is echoing because that person's getting further away. And then the person's sad because they want to take that other part of them forward into their life.
I'm like nearly crying explaining this.
It's so emotional. But they can't. And that.
So what you, no, I'm curious what you're relating it to.
I'm relating it to as in, I think that once you heal, you can't look at us like watering eyes and look at me bringing some laughter into the mix to disperse the emotion and calm everything down. But like, anything that you heal requires you to
just for anyone that can't hear, and I'm not even laughing at you, I just think it's really beautiful. Grace is crying right now. That can't hear, sorry, that can't see.
Healing in general requires you to leave a part of you that, okay, God, what's wrong with me?
No, it's beautiful. It
like hardly ever cry as well.
Yeah, I know. Well, I feel like it's touching the nerve.
It's touching my soul, man.
Yeah. So you mean like your anxiety can't come with you? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, anything like basically when whatever you're trying to heal, it requires you to leave a part of you that once was with you and served you behind.
Mm.
And that's sad.
Yeah.
Literally, what the hell is wrong with me? I'm sorry, everyone. Did not expect that me bringing up this fucking TikTok trend was going to make me cry. I haven't even cried watching the videos on TikTok. And I don't know what's wrong with me. Like, it's like making me realize stuff as I'm like saying it. Oh, I feel like it's like related to like what I was saying I wanted to release from the moon.
Yeah.
Sorry, everyone.
You don't need to apologize. I think now this can just be a thing. We just cry on the podcast.
Yeah, maybe this is our new thing, you know? Comfort.
But it is a really emotional sound. Have you not made a TikTok to that?
No, I haven't. Maybe I should.
You definitely. Maybe I need to infuse this emotion into the TikTok.
Let me go viral.
Yeah, and people will feel it because, it's real.
No, but like basically what I'm trying to say is whenever you're healing anything, it requires you to say goodbye to part of you, like and that is sad. So when I know that I've like coming out of the other side of a healing journey, is that I feel that kind of renewed sense of self. So like I feel like I'm back to me. So maybe I've got my joy back, I'm singing, I'm laughing, I'm dancing, but also it's this new renewed part of me. So I've had to let go of like maybe this self-sabotaging story that I always told myself that actually just kept me in my comfort zone, stopped me from going for what I actually wanted, and kept me safe. But you get to this point where you're like, that I can't take you with me anymore because I want more from my life. So that's when you have to let it go. And that's sad. And it's sad as well to kind of realize I did not know this episode was going to go like this. I did not know it was going to get this emotional. It's sad to realize that like there was a part of you that tormented you in a way, but it was also beneath it all, it was protecting you. And that can be in the form of so many things. So let's say addiction. Like, I'm not speaking on myself here. I haven't got a problem with addiction or anything, but I think that's quite a good example that people can understand. That's quite a lot of people are aware of what an addiction is, but say you struggle with addiction, you want to heal and you want to stop and you want to stop doing these things and you want to move forward and you've got ideas of your future and goals. That's what I mean. Like, you're saying these things that you want, you're asking the universe these things. The way for you to get there is to become this renewed version of you. You're still worthy now as the addicted self and you're worthy as the clean self. But for you to get to that next point, you have to let those, let's say, addictive tendencies go. You have to leave it behind. And when you start to heal, you start to realize that the reason why you were, let's say, addicted to food or drugs, sex, alcohol, shopping, anything, or even negative self-talk, a story that you tell yourself, was because it was protecting you, because it was you felt pain. That's why you form that coping mechanism, is to help soothe you. But we all form coping mechanisms that no longer serve us at some point in our life, and you have to let it go. So that coping mechanism is soothing you then, and that's why you did it. But now you want more for your life, so you have to let it go. But you can see actually that coping mechanism was actually coming from love within yourself. And I don't mean to say that in like a warped, toxic way, but like that's what it was. It was trying to protect you. It's this protect part of you. But it's like, okay, but we're strong enough now that we don't need that. So you have to love it and let it go. And you move into, and that's sad. And that's what that TikTok trend's about.
No, it's beautiful. But no, it is sad. And I think as well that, I mean, I've spoken about this before, but like that as well comes with so much fear, because when you have to let go of that part of you that was protecting you, it's like, well, who am I now?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want to heal and I want to grow. But like, if I let go of this old version of me before the new version of me has even arrived, then who am I?
Yeah.
And I suppose that is like that, the abyss. And that's where like you feel that loneliness, because you're like, I'm not quite sure who I am or who I even want to become. But I know for a fact that for me to move forward, I need to let go of this old version of me, or I need to let go of these behaviours that once protected me. And that in itself is so sad and scary. But as we said, it's worth it. But I mean, I just enjoyed what you were explaining there. And
that TikTok, I feel like I was going through some shit right there.
You really,
I was having some processing for myself right there. Or something.
There was a moment that I feel like you released something even just in that talk. You definitely need to make a TikTok with that sound.
I do.
And guys, go on the
go
TikTok.
Go follow my TikTok.
Yeah, because...
Oh yeah, go and look at it on TikTok. I don't know what the sound's called or anything like that. I don't know how you'd find it, but...
Yeah.
It's very emotional.
You do definitely laugh a lot as well, don't you?
I do. Start talking about something that... Well, I didn't at the moon thing. I didn't laugh, because that would be a bit...
No, yeah.
That would be a bit weird. But yeah, if I'm just like around like you, or like just where it's not a really serious situation, I don't think I really laugh with therapists, but I'm not sure. I can't remember.
I mean, it is always a bit funny crying on a podcast.
But everybody does. You were telling me actually that laugh to turn... No, Elaine told you that you were going to become a healer who uses laughter as medicine to turn pain into light or whatever.
Yeah.
And when I was at the healing circle, not the healing circle, sorry, the sis circle, I saw that in action, because I saw people sharing things, vulnerable, letting it out, and you could see they were in, like, let's say what they wanted to release, and it was hard for them to say that. And they felt, like, uncomfortable saying it. And then to make... And then everyone picks up on that energy. And then to make that person feel better, what do they do? Everyone starts to laugh. Not literally, ha ha, look at you, silly. But as in, like, they start to bring up their own experience of that similar thing. Or, like, so that person knows they're, like, not alone. Or, like, starts to make, like, a little lighthearted joke out of it to bring it back round to, like, laughter. Because that laughter, like...
Yeah.
It's soothing and it helps. It's not just, it wasn't diminishing what anyone was going through, but it was like, I could see it there, and it was alchemizing. That's what people say, isn't it?
Yeah, it's definitely alchemizing. And I think that, like, yeah, that's what Elaine was saying, that like when you laugh, there's like, it's like a vibration in your throat, and it is healing in itself. But I think it's like a very fine line with that like it is healing, and I totally get what you're saying. But then also, if you're like, not even this situation, but like if you're in something that's painful and you're just about imagining to say it, but then you're laughing, you are like completely, what's the word,
diminishing, that's what I mean.
I want to say defecting, that's all right.
Deflecting?
Deflecting. Like you're deflecting from the pain, because you're like, I'm almost just about to go there, but it's too uncomfortable, so I'm just gonna
laugh,
and then people will laugh with me, and then we'll be tapped out of the intimacy of how painful this moment is. So it's a very fine line, but obviously I always love a little bit of laughter, and laughter is just the most healing thing on earth.
Yeah, yeah.
But can I just say as well that we basically do like therapy each other in these things. Like we couldn't be any more vulnerable than what we're kind of explaining here. Yeah, so like, I mean, hats off to us. I'm saying it for the audience that like, we sit here and as in like we're looking into each other and we're being vulnerable, and like that is something huge in itself.
Yeah, I feel like I've just got to this point in my life where I'm like very this sense of like self-acceptance of just the journey my journey, other people's journey. I think I've just got to that point just through, I don't know, I guess like seeing my own like sort of evolution of healing, personal development, therapy, anything like that, and just growing as a person. But also I've like that book, actually The Afterlife of Billy Fingers, really flipped a switch for me, because I had one of those moments where I was like, what's the fucking point in this? I said it to Elaine, Tarot Elaine, like who we've had on the podcast like not that long ago, really, so go and have a listen to that episode. But Elaine Mary Collins, yeah, in my session with her, I said to her, Elaine, what's the fucking point? How much more have I got to do? What's the fucking point in this? Why is this going on, mate? Like, why? I don't want to do this anymore. And she said, Chris, you need to read this book. It's The Afterlife of Billy Fingers. And then the other one was Byron Katie's book, but I haven't read that. It's just like, it's too thick and much for me right now. I don't want it. But actually, Billy Fingers was great. And it's a story book. I'll link it in the show notes if anyone wants to listen to it. It's very, like, easy read. And it kind of just helps you get this sort of perception and understanding of, in terms of a lifetime and a soul, like, because this is my personal belief, is that we're all souls and we've lived on Earth many times before, some more than others, some older souls than others, and like some people are completely new souls on the Earth and they're like completely clean slate, and some people like have done a million lifetimes, but you come into a body and you pre-agree to do healing and learnings and things and helping the planet in some way or whatever. Like, that's why I always am like, listen to your heart, because it was here before you were, in a way, like, because it's connected to your soul. So you need... I'm laughing again. so you're... It's connected to your heart in a way, so you're... It knows things that your brain doesn't, like... It's connected to that soul purpose. What am I talking about? Why am I saying this? Well, I've completely lost what I was saying now. But yeah, basically, that's my belief. Oh, yeah. What? I don't know what I'm saying. I've lost. Billy Fingers is a really good book. That's what I'm trying to say. That's helped me. That's what I'm saying. Knowing that, understanding that, that Billy Fingers book, and understanding like that we're all kind of on a journey, some of it's pre-agreed in a way, and that like we're not just here in this lifetime, like we'll come back. I'm gonna come back as a cat. See you all in the next lifetime. I'm gonna be a cat. Like, because in like you will come back, like we've not, you know, it's not the end in a way, and like life is about lessons and learning. So that makes me have patience and a lot less judgment on myself, that I'm like, think it's really powerful actually to be vulnerable and open and honest and truthful. I think especially being in the position we're in, where we have thousands of people listening to us every single week say things on this show, and I think actually just showing up in that, not saying things out of my zone of comfort in terms of not having boundaries and coming on and opening my fucking journal and telling everybody what that's going on in my head, or like what I've spoke to like a therapist about, something like that, not that, but just talking about the messiness of being a human.
Yeah.
Because we're all going through it.
Yeah.
And actually, like, just you showing up as you are in your mess, your beautiful mess, makes everybody else think, okay, cool.
Yeah.
I'm not as fucked up as I thought I was. Or, like, just, you just never know actually what one sentence that you could say, and I'm not just saying that you have to have a podcast to do this, but one thing that you could say to a friend, like that therapist said that one thing to me about don't run from the loneliness, it's teaching you something, just be curious with it, changed my life. That was worth all the money I spent on all the sessions I went for just from that one statement. And you just never know, like, what that, you know, so yeah, it's cool to be vulnerable.
It is.
But I think when you let yourself be vulnerable as well, it's showing yourself like that you accept yourself as well.
Yeah.
It's like, that's healing too.
Yeah, completely.
It's authentic self-acceptance of your authentic self.
Yeah.
Which is powerful.
Yeah, and even just for what we said at the start, like being able to speak it out is so healing. Like I said, I always say this, that this podcast is so healing. Because even though, like you said, we're not talking about like really deep stuff, like we're not bringing our whole therapy sessions to the podcast or anything, but like, I'm so grateful that we have the opportunity to even air out these things.
Mm.
And it also really makes me reflect on, like, the amount of people that feel like they don't have, like, anyone that they feel they can talk to, or a lot of men out there that feel like they can't open up and talk about their feelings. Like, could you imagine if, like, a random guy was probably sitting and watching us now? They'd probably be like, what the fuck? Because we're literally just deep diving on emotions. Yeah, feeling your emotions.
I told my dad that, obviously, like, some men are obviously opening into all this stuff. But, like, I said to my dad that I was like, yeah, on the moon, I'm going to go to this, like, moon party. It's not a party. I was like, trying to explain it. Like, just go and, like, we'll come together and I'll look at the moon and talk about feelings and stuff. And he's like, all right. Okay.
Probably thought, I'll just turn into a witch.
Well, no, just what the hell? But obviously there is men do gather as
but
well.
That but
that
what you said
about
the rose really made me laugh.
Well, we all got to take home a rose from the thing. I don't know if the rose has got something to do with the moon. I don't know. I feel like I've seen them on pictures and stuff now related to the moon, but
yeah,
I don't know.
I think,
anyway, we all got to take home one rose, and so I came home and I just had it in my hand, and my dad was just looking at it in my hand. And didn't ask about it. And I just thought, I feel like he probably thinks I'm trying shit, saying that I'm going to some moon staring evening, coming home with a rose in my hand, and actually I've just been on a date. Some lovely boy, he's giving me a rose, and I just don't want to say anything.
And I just imagine
it couldn't be further from
there.
The truth. Yeah, no, I was just like, because he just didn't ask me about the rose, but was looking at my hand, and I just thought.
Yeah, like looking so innocent and naive just with the rose, like, and he's probably thinking,
what the
rose?
Fuck?
Surely a woman wouldn't give her a rose.
Of one single rose as well. That's such like a first date vibe
just
thing to
into
do.
The house.
No.
That's funny.
Anyway, that was a big episode. God, I feel like I need a nap now. That was a lot.
Yeah, I hope, like, if you're listening and wherever the hell you are on your own healing journey, like, I hope that's brought you comfort to know that, like, it can be messy, but as long as you just meet yourself there and, like, really show up for yourself and validate your emotions, and even when you don't have a fucking clue what's going on and you're like, what the fuck is the point in this? If you just show up for yourself in love, and that can mean anything from just giving yourself a hug, from just saying to yourself, it's okay, like, it's actually okay that I feel like this, like, mm-hmm. this is normal, there's nothing wrong with me, like, I'm just upset, I'm in pain, and that's okay. It can come in any form, but yeah, just showing up for yourself and love, I think that is healing.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't need to be some huge extravagant thing. It's just being mm-hmm. in love for yourself.
Yeah. Okay, everybody. Thanks for joining us. See you this time next week for more tears. No, we won't cry next week. Talk about something a bit more lighthearted or something. But actually, I've been wanting to talk about this topic for ages, so you can't talk about it either until you're in a bit more of a stable place. I say that, I started crying in the episode. But who knows what I would have said if I did it 6 months ago or something. So yeah, see you this time next week. We release episodes every single Wednesday. Keep up with us on socials at Find Your Feet Podcast on TikTok and Instagram. And love you so much. Stay safe. Bye.
Bye.